Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, man. The hospitality is off the charts. So make sure you head up here. We got a lot of, obviously, college football playoff action, big NFL games this weekend. We're going to kick it off right. We're going to be with you from top to bottom, your entire lineup today out here at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, man. It's already off to a good start. Bo's over there. He's got a mouthful of bacon and sourdough bread that they made for Tiff, but obviously she's out on assignment today.
Yeah, so we get to be bougie today.
Yeah, I mean, I saw her poll on socials yesterday, and she was getting
destroyed.
She was getting destroyed, and she should have been.
What did she expect?
Like, I don't think
she's bougie,
and I don't think she understands what I mean when I call her bougie. Like, it's not the sourdough so much. I was the kind of guy that just grew up walking to Circle K, getting your white bread and your Oscar Mayer bologna. And you know what I mean? And she's over here with sourdough and, you know, whatever else she wants to throw down on. That's just, it's a whole different, now, I don't do that now.
I do.
You walk to Circle K and get bologna?
Well, I might.
Okay.
if there was a Circle K close, I probably would. But what I mean is that I'm not afraid to see the price and say, yeah, I'm not going to pay that. What's the Walmart brand or the Kroger brand version, you know?
Yeah,
like I do with Clean Wipes. She judges my cough drops, man.
She definitely goes to like Henri's Bakery to, you know, for her pastries. You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of thing.
I get Kroger cough drops. She criticizes
it. Said I was a brat.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what we've all been waiting for, obviously, it's the debut start for the Atlanta Falcons this weekend of Michael Penix Jr. I want to go ahead and get to this because I know everybody wants to hear it. We'll talk afterwards. This is the quarterback report. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Dave Archer talking to Michael Penix Jr.
Michael, obviously you've been waiting for this opportunity, and everybody talks about how hard you've worked and how much you've absorbed things. How do you feel about this opportunity coming up?
I mean, I'm excited. I'm blessed. You know, that's the main thing. You know, I thank God for every opportunity I get, you know, to even play this sport and be playing it at the highest level. You know, it's a blessing, you know, and to be able to take the field this week, I'm super excited, and, man, I can't wait to ball.
What's it meant to you? Your teammates have rallied around. There's a lot of conversation about how much energy that you bring, and then it's translated to your teammates, even Kirk Cousins. I mean, nobody likes to be benched, but Kirk Cousins in your corner as well.
Yeah, man, it's great. You know, it just shows the character we have in this building. You know, I'm truly appreciative of being able to be in this organization. You know, with Raheem, Coach Rod, as the head. You know, he's been great. You know, as far as team meetings, the way he speaks, you know, to get us ready each and every week. So, you know, it starts with our leader, man, Rod and Terry. You know, they do a great job. You know, just getting the right guys in this organization, and I'm super blessed to be a part of it. And you know, I'm glad that my teammates, you know, they look at me as, you know, somebody that they can look at to lead this football team. So.
You've played a ton of football. I mean, people don't realize 48 games in college, you played for a national championship, you played at the highest possible level. Now, I know you haven't played a lot yet at this level. How much do you kind of satisfy or make the game about what you used to do, you haven't done yet at this level?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's football. You know, you got, as long as you prepare, you know, that's the biggest thing. You know, you want to make sure you're prepared. And, you know, I've been prepared each and every week. You know, I prepare like the starter, you know, since day one. And each and every game, you see me on the sidelines, you know, taking those mental reps so that whenever my time do come, you know, I'll be ready. And at the end of the day, you know, I just got to go out there and just have faith and, you know, just trust in my preparation. And that's what I'm going to do. And obviously, I got the guys around me that's going to make the big time plays. And, you know, for me, I just got to get the ball in their hands. So, you know, that's going to be the biggest things.
You're such an even keeled guy. I had a chance to talk to you in the preseason. I asked you if you get nervous for you. He said, I don't get nervous. I just get excited for the games. How much do you kind of have to maybe not be as excited for the game and be as even keeled as you can possibly be?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous. You know, but I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. You know, my girl, she told me last night, she's like, if you're not nervous, then it's a problem. Like, when you got nerves, that means you care. And, you know, so I'm embracing it. I'm embracing every part of this journey, and I'm super excited to see what God has planned for me.
That's a young lady that knows what she's talking about now. I love the fact that you're locked in that way. Okay, so tell me about the Giants. When you look, put them on tape, what do you see?
Yeah, I mean, it's an NFL team. You know, at the end of the day, playing the best of the best, you know, each and every week. You know, so we got to make sure we prepare at a high level. And, you know, they do a lot of things on tape that we feel like we can capitalize off of. And but obviously, they have good players over there as well. So do we on the offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball here. So at the end of the day, as long as we execute, we'll be able to come out with a win. So that's what it's about, execution.
I know how much you love these guys that you're playing with and how talented they are around you. A lot of them are the same age. You guys are kind of in the same boat right now. Tell me about being able to adjust to them, having not had a lot of practice time with the guys you're playing with.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to start this week. You know, make sure I get a lot of those reps with those guys, you know, mental, either if it's in the film room or just watching film and stuff like that, or on the field, you know, just getting multiple reps with the receivers, you know, make sure our timing is right, you know, with Bijan and Tyler, you know, make sure we're good on our run tracks and stuff like that as well, you know, but it takes reps at the end of the day, and we got some time, so.
The A-Tails believes in you, man. They're looking forward to watching you go.
Man, I appreciate it, man. I'm super excited to play here. So.
Have fun, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Going the pressure is a privilege route, if you will. That's, you know, Kirby Smart always talks about a number of guys, and he's right, man. If you're not nervous, I like, it would make me nervous if he wasn't a smidge nervous, because I'd be like, dude, you don't know what you're getting into. Like, if you're not a little bit nervous, you don't understand what's going on Sunday.
Sounds like a guy that played in college for 5 years.
Right. He sounds like a guy who's made a ton of starts at the quarterback position.
And that's not a bad thing either.
Yes.
I'm not saying that's not a slight. That is a testament. And I don't think he missed a game at Washington when he was there.
You know, as opposed to like an Anthony Richardson who says, I'm not going to lie, I was tired. You know what I mean? Like,
or pats his helmet to come out.
Yeah,
Different players.
Well, one has made not a lot of starts, and one
has.
That's true.
Both have had injuries in their careers.
Yeah.
One more of nagging injuries, and the other, I think the entire time Anthony Richardson played at Florida, he had a pulled hamstring.
Yeah.
Well,
look, man, when you're an athlete like that, I've told you before, it's like a Formula One car, man.
Well,
they go fast, but they break you.
No, that's absolutely correct. I mean, he pulled his hamstring running 80 yards for a touchdown against South Florida 1 year when he was playing at Florida. And, I mean, he was, because he was outrunning everybody. But look, this is the – everyone talked about the Raiders being a good start. This team's not a bad team to start against either, okay? They're last in scoring offensively. They're last in the red zone. They are one of the worst passing offenses in the league. You should be able to hopefully get to the quarterback. You've gotten 13 sacks in 4 games as a defense since coming off the bye.
Mm-hmm.
Whether some people think they're timely or not doesn't really matter. They're getting there. And make them timely. Get a hand on the ball when you get there. We've seen Ebiketie strip the ball out. Get more of those.
Yeah.
And then
I think that's the next level. Right? Isn't that to me? That's the next level. It's the chaos factor, right? It's the havoc factor in the backfield. And I tell you all the time, more than me, more than just sacks, I think sacks plus interception, like that havoc rate that you can wreak in the backfield, that's the biggest stat. It's not just sacks, right? It's, can I wreak havoc? Can I force bad throws? Can I pressure the quarterback down in and down out? And can I get in his face? And that's what I'm hoping. It's going to be Drew Lock, reportedly. And that's what I want to see. To me, that's the next level.
Yeah, as bad as Ridder played, he made some terrible throws. But I thought that he didn't necessarily allow the havoc to force him consistently into doing some of the stuff we saw him do here in Atlanta.
Well, again,
he made some bad throws.
To be honest, I thought he looked last week exactly like he did here. It was like, you know, I don't necessarily think that the pressure affected him last year. It's just that even when he had a clean pocket or was rolling out in the flat, that's when the bad decisions came, like throwing back across his body and doing stuff like that. So
well, then I go to the other side, Mike, before we get out of here, and why it's good. This is a good start for Penix. 20th ranked scoring defense, the 31st rushing defense in the league. Now, they're middle of the road in the, as a red zone defense. They're not a bad red zone defense at all. But when you when you look at the fact that you should be able to run the ball, that would hopefully keep some stress off of Penix. So in his first start, they're not able to come to pin their ears back and come at him in a bunch of third and longs, you know, third and six and overs, right?
Yeah.
If you can keep them in third and fours, you can kind of keep everything to where you want it to be because you're on schedule at that point. So that's really something that I look at. And I had somebody I was at the gym yesterday, and the guy was talking to me about Falcons, and he's like, "Hey, I'm worried about Bijan." And I said, "Why?" And he's like, "Well, man, we just gave him. He's got a ton of carries, and we're using him so much." And it's a good point. It's a fair point.
Yeah.
Compared to the usage last year, I'm going to go back and pull his numbers last year, and I'll get it to you when we come back for fair or foul. But he's already got 237 carries. And 54 catches this year.
Ooh. Ooh.
So he's over 1,500 yards all-purpose.
But doesn't it feel different than the kind of – it's not the kind of system you would normally think of, in my opinion, where you think of you're worried about the amount of carries. Like, it's not – and I don't know. He still has Algier to take some off his back, right? It's still not like your, hey, I'm getting 35 a game kind of guy. This is not, you know, the kind of system, too, where it's A-gap, 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 B-gap, right? He's kind of – They're doing a good job putting him out in space, and I think that allows him a lot of times to kind of avoid some of that rougher contact.
Yeah,
that's in my opinion.
I mean, I agree, but I also have seen him step up a ton and eat blocks.
That's a great point.
And that is very demanding physically on a running back's upper body.
If he's not the best pass-protecting running back in the NFL, he's top five. So there's no doubt in my mind.
You want to pull him real quick, the numbers? You want to see what he did last year?
Go ahead.
Last year he had 214 carries for 976 yards and four touchdowns while having 58 catches for another four touchdowns. This year, I told you, he's already got 237 carries for 1,100 yards, and he's already got 54 catches for
really?
54 catches.
I wouldn't have thought that, man.
In fact, you want to know how it looks? Darnell has 57. Drake has 75.
Yeah.
Ray has 53.
Wow.
Or, excuse me, 54. And Bijan has 54.
I would not have thought that many already. It doesn't feel like that.
Other than Drake, the ball has been spread between Darnell, Ray, and Bijan. And then Kyle Pitts has 40.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, it's going to be fair foul. It's going to be mic'd up. It's hosted by Dylan today, so that'll be a lot of fun. And before we get to that, we'll do a short in the huddle. I'm going to tell you why Brock Purdy today, one of my favorite people in the NFL, man. Doing some good things. Stick with us here. The Morning Shift live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Stick with us. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Well, I haven't bought Bo's Christmas gift yet. I did give him a Christmas card to get to his wife, but I haven't bought his Christmas gift yet.
I forgot to give it to her.
Either way. Oh, you left it in the car?
No, it's still in my book bag. I forgot. I got here and I was unpacking and I looked at Jersey Mike and I was like, oh, man, I forgot to give this card to Amy.
That's right. Look, man, hey, just do me a favor. Just post it on your, you know, on your mirror or
just a real quick heads up.
Yeah.
The Christmas card you gave to all of us, including me and Day-Day, it's already on my fridge, by the way.
That's my man.
That's
what I'm talking about. All right, and I hope my wife's listening. She'll be so stoked to hear that. All right. And just remember that that Mexican fellow that hooked it up on the Photoshop. You know what I mean?
Shout out to him.
Yeah,
shout out to that guy. Listen, some of the best pesos I've ever spent. I did not get Bo's gift yet, but it's probably not going to be as good as what Brock Purdy gifted his offensive lineman yesterday. So the video comes out. Five Sequoias and five Tacomas were gifted. It puts the price value somewhere over $500,000.
Well,
yes,
it's clear that Brock Purdy's Toyota endorsement.
I was going to say, how much do we think he paid out of pocket? I'm going to go with zero.
Well, he only signed like a $3 million contract when he came out because he was Mr. Irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
So he's got endorsements with Alaska Air, Toyota, and Buffalo Wild Wings.
The good news is he's hitting those rookie marks. Like when you outplay your rookie contract, you get a lot more money from the NFL.
Well, his net worth is $6 million.
I was going to say. So he's getting probably, you know, a couple million dollar kickback each season. Now, he's not the only guy giving gifts. Joe Burrow.
This
I can't wait
favorite.
To hear. Did you hear about this one?
Yeah.
The katana swords.
Yes, yeah, I know.
Personalized katana swords. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what I would do with that. Do you just put it on your shelf? Do you get Randy Jackson autograph?
Well,
I don't know.
At party. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Stepbrothers.
Yeah.
What you do is at parties, you bring it out. And you're like, hey, okay. You want to see my sword? Until someone gets injured. And then you just – then you claim that you don't have it.
Either way, I think more thought was put into that than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is like a gift set. It looks like something you'd get at like an awards banquet. A Yeti cooler, Lucchese boots.
That's a good call.
Normatec, Normatec sleeves for your legs. It looks like some Oakley shades.
That's a really good call. It does look like something that you would get when, like, if you're – you remember that that Sopranos – did you watch The Sopranos?
No.
So the Sopranos episode where – Christopher goes to Hollywood because he's trying to make a movie, and he gets Ben Kingsley, the actor, yeah. And they're trying to convince him. They're walking around, and like these Hollywood actors, when they're at these award shows, they just go into these rooms and they pick out
yeah.
whatever they want, and they gift it to them, so they wear it and everything.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of like that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, I got to do that at the ESPYs one year, and get a bunch of cool stuff. So, all right, hey Dylan, you're up, man. Let's go with the mic'd up. Dylan, you got it, man. It's Fair Foul, hosted by Dylan Matthews today, man. What you got on the docket for us?
I got, of course, a bunch of Falcons questions, college football playoff questions, and even a couple of holiday questions sprinkled in there as well, fellas. I want to start, obviously, with Michael Penix and the Falcons. First one I want to start with is, it's funny, you guys were talking about how Kirk Cousins was spreading the ball around, and Kyle Pitts, for reasons we all know, has been on the short end of the stick on that list. But a gut feeling, I don't know why, guys, but I just have a gut feeling that Michael Penix's first touchdown pass in the NFL on Sunday against the New York Football Giants is going to be to Kyle Pitts. I don't know why I have that feeling. I just do. Fair or foul, Michael Penix's first touchdown pass in the NFL will be to Kyle Pitts.
I'm going to go foul for obvious reasons. It just seems like too much of a Cinderella story. And most touchdown passes have not gone to Kyle Pitts, it feels like. Even though he's not doing that bad in that category this year, they've been few and far between. I'm going to go off the grid a little bit, Bo. How about this one? First touchdown pass be to Bijan.
I don't think that's off the grid at all, because yeah. I think you've seen kind of that. Here's the deal. Kyle Pitts in year four has 9 touchdowns. So, yeah, I'm going to say foul. Although, do you know who Kirk Cousins' first touchdown pass was to as a Falcon?
Kyle Pitts. Yeah, I remember.
So it's not a bad question.
We were like, oh, this is it. Here we go. This is the breakout.
I do think you'll see a bigger day from Kyle Pitts, because I think there was a breakdown in the relationship with Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts even before Kirk kind of lost his way. And so I do think that production or the targets might at least pick up.
Nice work. All right, Dylan.
Another Falcons question to come here in a couple of minutes. Let's transition to the college football playoff, though, however. Fair or foul, there will be at least one college football playoff game this weekend where the road team will win. So we'll at least have one upset this weekend in the college football playoff, fair or foul.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and jump in. You heard it just a few minutes ago. I actually picked Indiana to cover the 7-point spread, and I'm thinking about taking the money line this weekend. Really like Indiana in that matchup with Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a good team. I'm not trying to take anything away. I think Indiana will be hungrier. And look, we've shown that lesser teams can beat Notre Dame at home when they put their mind to it, man. So I really like that matchup for Indiana. I'll say yes, Dylan. And it's not the easy one, the Tennessee against Ohio State. I'm actually going with a much lower seed.
Didn't you pick Notre Dame to win that game?
No.
You picked Indiana, and your picks picked Notre Dame to cover.
No, I didn't.
You picked Indiana to cover.
Picked Indiana to cover?
You never listen to me, dude. It's not shocking. You never listen to me. It's all
well,
right. It's all right.
Maybe if you say something worth
remembering. No,
you
can't. Don't flip this on me because you don't listen. All right?
Well,
you can't do that.
In all fairness, Sandra just tweeted me something about don't go into parties and ask people they want to see
your
sword.
Well, right now, this is fair foul.
I think it's fair. I think Indiana can absolutely beat Notre Dame. I don't think they will. I think Notre Dame's eventually going to abuse them up front, which is where Notre Dame's been pretty strong. And those kind of teams that are good up front, like Michigan, like Ohio State, have given Indiana trouble. So, but I think it is fair to say that they could win this game.
Okay.
Let's stick to point spreads while we're at it, and let's stick to the college football playoff as well. Clemson, according to ESPN, 12-point underdog to Texas this weekend. Fair or foul? Clemson, too much of an underdog against Texas this weekend.
This is a tough one, man. I'm going to go with – that's probably fair. 12 points is huge. It's huge. And that's not to say that I'm going to go out and bet Clemson at the plus 12. But it's a little – a little too it's not enough respect, I think, for what that sap
is.
I know Dabo takes a lot of shells, dude. Like, he really does. This is a multi-time national championship head coach. For whatever else you want to say about him, he coaches well in big games. And for the Dabo factor alone, I will say that's fair. The spread's a little too big.
I think it's fair. I think Clemson has been, you know, Clemson's losses are 34-3 to Georgia, 33-21 to Louisville, and then 17-14 South Carolina. Look, Clemson's been inconsistent. Cade Klubnik, I think, is a good quarterback, but he makes some terrible decisions in important situations.
He's going to have to play his best game.
And Texas is better up front than probably anybody not named Georgia and South Carolina that they played on their schedule. It's Georgia. I would say it's South Carolina, Texas, and then Georgia would be the teams in the trenches that can compete with them. So I think the spread is fair. It's at home. So, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
All right, two quick rapid-fire ones here before we close things out here on a fair or foul. Friday, let's get back to Michael Penix and the Falcons. Michael Penix, fair or foul, will throw the ball more than 20 times against the Giants on Sunday.
I would say that's right at the mark. Like that,
that's
I need
why
it
I
right
picked that
at
number.
20. yeah, that's a good number. I would say I'm right at 20.
Will it be more though? Are you going 21, Mike?
I'm gonna say it's like 21. How about that? I'm gonna go right over. So I don't remember how you phrased the question, but if you said he's gonna throw it more than 20, I'd say that's fair. I'm gonna go right at like 21. That would be a perfect case scenario for me.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, fair.
15 of 25 for 267, two touchdowns and an interception.
Boom, love it.
There you go. All right, last one. We'll make it a holiday one. A gift card is a good gift for family members of your significant other. So, like, your girlfriend's mom or, you know, your mother-in-law. Is a gift card a good Christmas gift? Because you don't really want to get them clothes. Like, you just don't really know what to get them. So you get them a gift card. Fair or foul?
Let me just tell you something. My wife's family is way different than my family. And the first time I ever spent a Christmas with them, I was kind of taken aback by how blunt they were about their Christmas giving. And my family's, I mean, like, you know, my mom could buy me an orange 8X sweater, and I'd be like, oh, my God, it's awesome. Not in my wife's family. They're just straight up like, hey, I probably won't use that. So I would just say that it's very fair. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure my mother-in-law would prefer that I not try to go out on a limb and get her a gift. So very fair.
I think it's fair as well. I've given plenty of gift cards because that's what they've even asked for at times.
Yeah.
But I am much like Mike. Someone could give me also an 8XL hoodie, which I could never wear, and I'd be like, oh, I can sleep in this.
Yeah.
It's just whatever, man. Like, I just believe in being – I'm a firm believer in the thought counts.
Yeah.
And if you have the thought to buy me something, I'll at least have the thought to act like I like it.
Yeah. Well, how about a gift card to a Zero Res? This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. One of the games that we just talked about, man. Penn State, SMU against Penn State. That's noon on TNT. How about a man who's going to be on the call for that? Roddy Jones is going to join us on the other side of the break. It's the Morning Shift live from Twin Peaks and Kennesaw. All day today, 92.9 The Game. Stick with us. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mike and Bo live from Twin Peaks and Kennesaw. Why are we live from Twin Peaks and Kennesaw? Because the college football playoff starts today.
Yep.
All right, and we're stoked about it. So we're going to be live. All of your 92.9 The Game shows will be live today, Twin Peaks
and
Kennesaw.
And then I'll be in Buckhead tomorrow from 3 to 5 for a college football watch party.
Yeah, so appointment visitations tomorrow for Bo down in Buckhead. If you're a fan of Squid Nation, he's wearing the hoodie right now.
That's right.
So, I don't know, Algie Crumpler and whoever else is part of that group.
Arch is a member.
No, he's not. Dave Archer is going to join us here in about 15 minutes, and that's actually a perfect segue to bring in our friend Roddy Jones.
Who's also a member of Squid Nation.
Who is probably not a member of Squid Nation. Now, Roddy, I have to tell you, I'm sitting here with Dave Archer, and he told me that I needed to ask you about Paul Johnson asking you to return punts when you're at Georgia Tech, man. What's the story? Yeah. What's going on with you?
So my freshman year at Georgia Tech, I was a punt returner as well. Started the season third team, you know, third string punt return. First starter went down, and so our backup, who was also a redshirt freshman like me, and my roommate, Tyler Melton, he gets hurt in the Clemson game. So I go out there against Clemson and do a really nice job of just not fielding the punts. I just let them hit the ground. Now, the punts were a little off, didn't hurt the team, all good. Next game, I do it again against Virginia. I actually had some good punt returns in that game. And then against North Carolina, I ended up dropping two punts. One of them was a foolish decision. I went for it, hit my hands, a dive on it, no harm, no foul. Second one, I just fair catch it, goes right through the wickets, hits the ground. Your boys got the yips. They end up recovering, and they beat us. I think we were up 14-7 at the time. They went up 21-7. And so Coach Johnson comes up to me after that, and he goes, "You know what, son? It's not your fault. It's my fault for putting you out there." And I've never been so hurt in my entire life. I really haven't. It just cut through the soul, a quick one-liner, and I never returned punts again. So there you go.
That is, like, there is nothing worse for Coach Seti. I was when I was a sophomore at Bama, I remember having to block Tyson Jackson in a two-minute drill. And I heard Nick Saban say to our offensive coordinators, like, "Why weren't you giving him chip help?" And I was like, dude, that's the worst thing you can say to an offensive lineman. Yeah, like, why weren't you giving him chip help? Oh, man.
Like, this was so obvious that it's not your fault for being bad at it. It's our fault as coaches for making you do something that you're awful at. So, there you go.
That's very Steve Spurrier-esque of Paul Johnson. Hey, Roddy, you're up in Happy Valley, and I saw you and Wes were getting ice cream last night. That's cute. however, you know, they have a player. Mike asked me earlier, "Hey, who's your favorite player in the college football playoff other than Ashton Jeanty that you're looking forward to seeing?" And I thought for a second, and I said, "Well, there's a kid that plays for Penn State that's a heck of a tight end. He's got 400-yard games already, including one at USC for over 220. Tyler Warren is a heck of a player. Can SMU stop him at all?"
It's a great question, and we'll find out the answer. I think the ultimate answer is, like, yes, you can limit Tyler Warren. There have been teams that have done it this year. You know, he's had some games where he's been under 50 yards receiving. He's had some games where he's been under 60 total yards because if you stop the rushing attack, that they will use him in as well. You can limit him. You can limit him some, and it's more, I think, an invitation to throw the ball other places, like. You give one-on-one coverage to Harrison Wallace. You lighten the box so that Penn State's encouraged to run the football. Now, I don't know that those are recipes for success for SMU. It's funny because the Drew Aller experience this year has sort of been up and down, but coming off of his best game of the year, he announces that he's going to come back to Penn State next year. I think Drew Aller's got real potential to be the number one quarterback picked next year in the draft. Like, wow. The throws are there, the size is there, the athleticism is there, and the development track is there as well. So can they limit Tyler Warren? You know, that's the million-dollar question. I think SMU has the ability with Isaiah Wachovia at safety to have a safety that can at least compete in man-to-man coverage. And Tyler Warren's not, like, He's not Travis Kelce in terms of a route runner. Like, he's not going to separate with his speed and quickness. He's more like Gronk with the ball in the air, and then George Kittle with the ball in his hands. You know, great with the ball in his hands. He's sort of a bigger body with the ball in the air. But I think Drew Aller is going to have the confidence, based on kind of what I said and the way he played in that Oregon game, to take what SMU is going to give him. They're going to drop plenty for Tyler Warren. And if you tackle him when, you know, if you don't let him beat you on the deep balls with his physicality, and you tackle him when they throw it to him short, then I think Penn State will move on and try and get the ball to other people. But to be honest, Bo, like, my favorite player on Penn State, and this is, Tyler Warren's a great player. My favorite player on Penn State's team, and maybe in the college football playoff, is actually Abdul Carter, Penn State's defensive end. That dude is phenomenal.
Wow. Hanging out with Roddy Jones here, getting us ready for the college football playoff. He's going to be on the call. SMU against Penn State tomorrow. Roddy, one of the things – actually, I think it's the best feature of the college football playoff to me is that you do have home games. I don't know that I agree with how it kind of maps up and the fact that, you know, the 5 through 8 or whatever get the home games. But tomorrow in Happy Valley, temperatures in the low 20s. All right. How do you think that affects what SMU tries to do, what Penn State tries to do, and affects the outcome of that game?
Yeah, so the SMU part of it is hard to know because it should be dry. Like, the snow that we're supposed to get is actually snowing right now. That's the thing that I think affects you the most as a Southern team. Like, that's the thing that you cannot prepare for. There's no possible way to prepare for snow. You just don't play in it ever. So that's the thing that I think throws you off. Cold, unless it's extreme, like, and I'm talking single digits, negatives. Like, I think cold is you know, it's not a mindset. There are some tricks of the trade to get over the cold, but what's the difference between, you know, 33 and 23? I mean, obviously it's 10 degrees and it feels a lot colder, but ultimately cold is cold in the way that I kind of see it. So will it affect SMU? The answer is probably. How it'll affect SMU? The coldest game of the year that they played this year was the ACC championship game, and they had 7 drops. Was that a factor of the cold? I don't know. Was it a factor of the stage? I don't know. Both the cold and the stage are going to be more extreme in this game. So that's something that I'm definitely going to watch for. And then on the Penn State side, you know, I think it's silly to just say, you know, nothing changes for either team because Penn State can practice in the cold and all that. I will say they are more used to it. I think, you know, I don't know that it changes what they do or what they're going to be able to do. But I do think whatever they can do mentally to get in the heads of SMU, they will absolutely do it. Like, whether it's guys showing up with no shirts on, like, hey, we're used to this, you know, all that stuff. So I think the mind games will be played. But I would watch those SMU drops because it was chilly in Charlotte when they played the ACC championship game. It was in the 30s, and they did have a bunch of drops. Mm.
Yeah, I got this guy I always have to sit next to on Sundays and says no one really likes playing in the cold, and both teams have to play in bad weather. It's not an advantage really for anybody. You know,
I was going to ask you
about Clemson, Texas, but I actually really want to ask you about Tennessee, Ohio State, and another game where people think the cold might affect. I just think this game is going to be a grinder. You have two really good teams up front. How do you think this game's going to play out?
The people in Knoxville keep telling you that hey, it gets cold in Tennessee too. I'm like, okay, we'll put that to the test up in Columbus. But look, I think the matchup in this game to watch is Tennessee's defensive line against Ohio State's offensive line. Ohio State's offensive line, I actually thought, competed really well against Michigan, and they have gotten better over the course of the season through all of the shuffling. They have ended up in a better place, I think, than most people thought. But Tennessee's defensive line is a different beast than even Michigan's. I mean, Michigan's got really, really good players up front. Tennessee's just got more of them. And on the top end, you know, I think there's a player that's just as good as, like, a Mason Graham for Michigan and James Pierce for Tennessee. So if Ohio State's not able to block Tennessee up front and the waves of defenders that they throw at you, it's going to be a long day. And then conversely, can Tennessee's defensive backs cover these Ohio State wide receivers? And will Ohio State go to them? I mean, there was a stat running out there that the last 25 minutes of gameplay in Ohio State, Michigan, Jeremiah Smith didn't get a target. And, like, he's the best receiver, best freshman receiver in the country this year, and that guy didn't even get a target. So Ohio State's ability to get the ball to Jeremiah Smith, to Emeka Ebuka, Tennessee's ability to create disruption with their defensive line, I think, is what to watch. And then you flip it to the other side, and Ohio State's got to stop the run and make this a Nico Iamaleava game. He's gotten better over the course of the year, but he's still been up and down despite the immense talent that he has.
Yeah, that's Roddy Jones, man. Hey, look, Roddy, SMU against Penn State tomorrow at noon. Be on TNT. We're all going to be watching, dude. Have a good call. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Have a great one.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Roddy.
That's Roddy Jones, man. That's going to be a fun. Everybody's going to be paying attention to, I think, all four of these games this weekend. Going to be a lot of fun. And then we'll be flipping that calendar, Bo, and we'll be paying attention to Michael Penix on Sunday. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, Smart, Lasting, Clean. Coming up on the other side of the break, Dave Archer is live with us here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. He's my idol. He's Bo's caretaker, and he's the best in the business when it comes to talking about Falcon quarterback play. Stick with us here, man. It's the morning shift. We're rolling on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.